Well, good morning. You know, a long time ago, there was a guy named Jeremiah. I don't know if we have many people named Jeremiah today. The name rattles around a little bit out there, but a long time ago, there was this guy named Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was an interesting character, and we've actually got a big part of his life recorded for us in the Bible. And, you know, a lot of times when somebody was a prophet, they just wrote the prophecies. So we get their books and the name of prophecy and that kind of thing. But with Jeremiah, we get his prophecies, but we also get pieces of his life. And it's such an important reminder for us in the way that God works. So the way that Jeremiah is recorded for us, it's a reminder that what God does through us, he also does in us. Right? Because there was this message that because Jeremiah was a prophet, he had to do this thing for God. He had to speak these words for God. But we also get a glimpse of what God did in him in that process. And it reminds us that that's the way that God works. What God does through us, he also does in us. And it reminds us also that what God does in us, he also does through us. Sometimes we can have an approach to faith that just says, God's doing this thing in my life that's fantastic. Y'all, I wish you could have it, but this is just, I'm just glad that I got it. But that's never God's intention. God's intention is always that what he does in us is also what he does through us. As he reveals his mercy to us, and we are recipients of his mercy, we are also ambassadors of his mercy. As we receive forgiveness, we are also ambassadors of forgiveness. What God does in us, he also does through us. And so we're looking at this as we study the life of Jeremiah together. Now again, Jeremiah lived a long time ago, and he was what's called a prophet. And that means that he spoke for God. Now back in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, one of the things that we see is God would show himself, God would reveal himself, but it was most often through one person. It was through one person who would speak to the broader people on God's behalf. And as the broader people responded to that prophet, then God would show himself in and through that community. But God kind of touched down in a special way with one person. And that's a lot of the story we get from the Old Testament in particular. But what happens in the New Testament, in this new way that God is doing things, is his spirit touches down on lots of people, on everybody who says yes to Jesus, to following Jesus. And then all of those people, all of us, even in this day, get to experience God's work in and through us. And that's how God reveals the world. God doesn't just kind of put out, you know, a big banner in the sky. God just doesn't light something on fire and make sure everybody notices. He reveals himself, his identity, his character, and his purpose. God reveals himself in and through us. Like today. This is how this works. God works in and through us. And so that's what we're taking a look at as we study Jeremiah's life a bit together. Last week we started off in the first chapter of Jeremiah. We're going to stay in the first chapter of Jeremiah. Don't worry, like don't read ahead with all the chapters of Jeremiah and think we're doing 2-3 weeks every chapter. No, it's not how we're doing this. But I want to really settle into this foundation for us because we're seeing this interaction between God and Jeremiah that's really important and it's revealing some things for us. So what I'd like you to do is turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1. Flip in your phone if you need to. You can read along on the screens on the side if you want. But I encourage you to bring your Bible if you've got one. If you don't have a print Bible and you'd like one, just reach into the pocket of the chair in front of you. There's probably one there. And if you don't have one, just write your name in the cover of that one, and now you have one. These are important things for us to have. All right, so we're looking at Jeremiah chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 9. So this is picking up where we left off last week. Then the Lord reached out his hand, and this is kind of first person Jeremiah. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth, and he said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. And the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. And the word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a pot that is boiling, I answered. It is tilting toward us from the north. And the Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the people of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord. Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshiping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. And so here's Jeremiah, and he's in a tricky spot because he knows that this message that he's got to bring is going to be upsetting to the people that he's bringing it to. It's a message of judgment. You see, because after God had rescued them from Egypt centuries before, like hundreds and hundreds of years before, after God had rescued them from slavery in Egypt, he brought them to a land that he had promised, and so they were becoming a nation. But one of the things that they did, they were a small nation, and so they felt insecure as a people, and so they would do treaties with other nations around them. And in doing that, they would also begin to, as part of the treaties, begin to worship these foreign gods. And so instead of being a covenant community that worshiped Yahweh alone, they became a community with this mixed bag of gods that they would worship. And in doing so, they were unfaithful to their relationship with God. And so God was sending Jeremiah to them to turn them, that they would begin to pay attention, that they would repent in humility and turn back towards God and worship Yahweh alone. And if they didn't, which they didn't, his message was one of judgment upon them. And so you can begin to imagine how intense that was for Jeremiah. Not only was he a prophet, he was often called the weeping prophet because this was the message that he was to carry to his own people. His own people had to hear this very difficult message. And you can imagine how the people would respond to this. As he would proclaim judgment on them, they wouldn't go, "Oh, that's fantastic, Jeremiah. Thank you for telling us. This is great news." No, they stoned him, they beat him, they ran him out of towns, they called him foolish. Like, they came against him hard. And so God was preparing him for that. Because he was getting this sense that the message that he was carrying, this call of God on his life, that God would work in him and through him in his day, would be very difficult. Very, very difficult. And he began to feel unsure about that, began to feel a little bit insecure about that, and he was afraid of what was going on. And so I love what God is doing this, because what God is doing in this piece here is he's laying this foundation and he's reaffirming with Jeremiah, "I have called you to this. And I am providing for you everything you need for me to work in you and through you." And see, that's what we get out of this today, too. As we study this scripture, as we allow God to do this work in us, we, too, are proclaiming in this day that when you feel like the world is pushing in, when you feel like there's so much opposition to you as you walk by faith, when you feel that in this world, where you feel unsure, where you feel your weakness coming up, where you feel, "I'm insecure, I don't have what it takes for God to work in me and through me," that's ridiculous. We proclaim today in this place that when you're stuck in that place, God is reminding you, through Jesus, through faith in Jesus, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he is providing for you everything you need. God is providing for you everything you need for him to do his work in you and through you. And that's what we're pulling out of this passage today, and that's this part of this beauty of what we get to proclaim as we gather together today. And so let's look at some of these first sections again. I do want to reread it a bit here. So God had called Jeremiah, kind of this reminder like we had last week, where I made you, I formed you, I see you, right? He's present with Jeremiah. And then he's going to be giving him this thing. So right out of the chute, verse 9, "Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth. He said to me, 'I have put my words in your mouth.'" See, that's the preparation for Jeremiah is taking place right here in this moment. And what he's doing is he's preparing Jeremiah with his message. So it's one thing to say, "Jeremiah, you're going to be a prophet, you're going to speak for me." But then Jeremiah even said, in the passage that we looked at last week, he even said, "I'm too young. Like, I can't do this. I can't speak for you. I'm too young. I don't have the goods. And here's God reaching out his hand and touching Jeremiah's mouth. And he says, I am going to give you the words to speak. And then he makes good on this. He's preparing Jeremiah with his message. And he uses a couple of these, in this back and forth conversation. And the first question he asks him, he says, what do you see? And Jeremiah says, I see the branch of an almond tree. Now, that might not seem like a big deal to us, but there's sort of a play on words that's taking place here. For the same Hebrew word that's translated branch of an almond tree is actually sounds very similar to the word for watching over. And so look at the conversation with God. God says, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah says, I see the branch of an almond tree. And God says, you see correctly, for I am watching that my word comes to pass. Now, when we think about watching, it's often a sort of a passive type of a deal. Maybe you're sort of watching your kids play their soccer game. Good job, honey, good job, right? Right, that's kind of what watching is, or you know, you double and triple device when you're watching a movie or you're watching a show. Like for us, when we think about watching, it's a very passive exercise. But when God says, "I am watching," it's a very proactive, it's a very active and assertive kind of pronouncement that God is making. In other words, this very thing that you see, and here's the message that you proclaim, Jeremiah, is, "I am going to accomplish my will. I am getting it done. I am doing what I have always said that I would do." And what is it that God has always said that he would do? That rescue the world from itself is what it boils down to. Because in and of itself, the world makes a mess of itself. And so God is saying, I am going to go about my business of renewing all things, of saving the world from itself and rescuing all people. So God is affirming that part of this message to Jeremiah is, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Now, why did he need the reassurance of God saying, I'm doing it? It's the next part, because he says, what else do you see? And Jeremiah says, I see a boiling pot tipping. Now, let me just tell you, at any point in your life that you see a boiling pot tipping, nothing good will ever come from that. Nothing good ever comes from a boiling pot that is tipping. And so here Jeremiah has this vision, this sense of a boiling pot tipping from the north. And what that's revealing, God shows us this thing, is exactly right, because God's discipline is going to be coming upon the people of Judah, and it's going to be coming in the form of nations from the north. And he describes this. He says it's the boiling pot is tipping from the north. He says, you're right, those nations, those kings are going to come up, and they're going to set up their thrones. They're going to exercise authority, and they're going to set up their thrones in the gates of Jerusalem, the capital city of their people. These foreign nations are going to set up shop, and they are going to rule from your land. And it's this picture of exile of what's going to be taking place. And again, here's these pictures that are going on here. So he's given them the picture of like the watching, the olive branch. He's given this tipping, boiling pot. And he says the kings from the north are going to be coming and doing these things. And this is the message that you're taking, Jeremiah. Again, it's a difficult message, is it not? But here's what's happening. See, a principle that is true throughout Scripture, and we see this throughout all the ways that God reveals himself, and it is, one of these principles is this. What we worship owns us. What we worship owns us. Now put these pieces together. What had been happening in the nation of Israel? They were afraid and insecure. We're just this itty-bitty little nation. God said he would protect us, but I'm not so sure. So they begin to have these alliances with these larger nations, the ones who can really protect them. What comes with that alliance? These false gods. And so the people of God, Yahweh's people, the Hebrew people, began to worship these false gods. Now, what's the principle? What you worship owns you. So they had been worshiping these gods of the nations, particularly from the north, these Babylonian gods. So what's going to happen? The kings that represent the power of these false gods are going to come, and they're going to camp out on your doorstep. They will own you. The very gods besides Yahweh that you have worshipped now own you and lay claim to your lives. The judgment of God is he lets them have what they say they have desired. In their worship, they have desired these false gods. And so Yahweh says, you got it. What you worship owns you. And that's true for us too, right? Because we find ourselves in these same space. We got the sense that, like, God wants us to live for him, that, great, he's going to do something in us, through us, and there's voice that I'm giving. Like, and as we give voice to who God is, as we reveal his identity, character, and purpose, we're doing so. We're standing as prophetic witness. We might not be prophets, but we stand as prophetic witness to the identity, character, and God in the way that we live our lives in obedience to God. And as we do that, we find ourselves in some of these same places. We are pushing up against the winds, the torrents of this world, because it rejects the message. But this is true for us in our day also. What we worship owns us.